Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Gimal. Today's daf is being studied. Le'enu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shalem Adin and Batzara. En Arafan Allah Rafat HaNefesh Rafat HaGuf. Refuah Takru Balabu Vechen Yirasom Venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Bet Amud Bet. And we are up to Mishum. Rabbi Akiva Amru, which is three lines on the bottom. So we learned in the name of Rabbi Akiva that Edim Zomimim do not pay if they admit Al Pi Atzmam. That means they were in a court, and before they got Huzam in the court, they went to a different court and they said, listen, we're admitting on our own admission that we were Edim Zomimim. So the law is they don't pay. And Edim Zomimim Mishamim Al Pi Atzmam. So what else is why? My Tamad Rabbi Akiva Kasabar Kenasahu. The Kenas in Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo. Because the whole payment of Edim Zomimim is a Kenas. It's a penalty. The Gemara will prove it's a penalty in a second. So we have a rule. When it comes to a penalty, when it comes to a Kenas, you don't pay Kenas on your own admission. Where do we know that from? Rashi tells us. Knas enu meshalem al pi atzmo. Two lines on the bottom. Dechliv gabe kefil. The payment of kefil is also knas. Person steals something, right? So it says he has to pay twice. So it says asher yershi'un Elohim. Only when the judges mechayev him. Prat the marshia et atzmo comes to exclude where he's marshia himself, where he himself admits. Only when the courts make you pay the kefil. But if you're marashia yourself, you don't pay the kefir. So similarly over here, Edim Zomim is knas. So the guy comes and says, I was Ed Zomim. So you were there, knas, spatur. Kabbalah says, Amar of Nahman, Teda. I'll prove it to you. Actually, Amar Abba. Teda. Shehare lo asu ma'ase v'neiragin u'mishalmim. Right, that's the proof. They didn't do anything, the Edim Zomimim. They testified on a guy that is Hayav Sekila. But they didn't end up giving the guy Sekila. What do we do to them? Sekila. That's knas. They're not getting something that they did. They didn't do anything in the end of the day. So it has to be a knas. Or they were mechayev the guy $1,000. Did the guy end up paying $1,000? No. And what? They pay $1,000. That's knas. It's not a monetary. It's not like they made somebody pay $1,000, so they got to pay $1,000. That's monetary. They stole $1,000, pay $1,000. It's not monetary over here. They're paying something that was not their, that they never did. Lashi teda, last line, the kenasahu, shalei ha-mi'idim b'nefesh lo harago, Adam, v'lo ne'erag Adam al pihim, v'ne'eragim shalim amon. They didn't kill anybody, and nobody was killed on their words. And still, what do we do to them? We kill them. Amar of Nachman teda, I'll prove it to you that it's a kenas. Shalei mamon b'yad ba'alim, u'mishalmim. Now, seemingly, he says the same thing. Mamon b'yad ba'alim. The owners are still holding on to the money. And these guys have to pay still. So what's the difference between Abba and Abba Nachman? So Gemara says, Mainihu, well actually continuing Abba Nachman, Mainihu, what does that mean? Telo asu ma'aseh. I mean, basically the point is they didn't do anything. Oh, if that's the case, Hainu de Rabba. That's the same answer as Rabba. Basically, you're both saying the same thing. The reason why it's a kenas is they didn't do anything. Gemara says, Ema vechen amar Abba Nachman. You're right. Don't say that Rav Nachman is coming to say a new answer. V'chen Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman also concurs. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, new point. Ed Zomem Mishalem Lefi Chelko. Ed Zomem pays according to his chelik. What does that mean according to his chelik? Sounds like it's saying, if you have two witnesses, and they were trying to make a guy pay $1,000, then they became Zomimim, so they owe $1,000. So it sounds like each guy pays his way, 500 each. Because collectively they were trying to make the guy lose 1,000. So Edzo Mem Mishalem Lefi Chalko. So he pays according to his chelik of his percentage, proportionately, according to his testimony. So the Gemara says that cannot be. My Mishalem Lefi Chalko. Ilimada, I'm Mishalem Palga. I'm Mishalem Palga. You can tell me it means 50-50. We know that already. What else says, Tanina. It's a Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Mishalishin b'mamon. Ve'en mishalishin b'malkut. Mishalishin could mean, if you have three witnesses, let's say, that come and testify against somebody. He owes $1,000. They became zumimim. Mishalishin b'mamon. Each guy pays a third. $333.33. And a third. And $333.33. And so on and so forth. So just like Mishalishim b'mamon, Mipalgin b'mamon. The point is, we have a Mefilush Mishnah that says that the Eidim pay according to the proportion. So that cannot be what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is coming to say. He's not going to come and repeat to us what it says Mefilush in the Mishnah. By the way, the Mishnah says another Hadush. En Mishalishim b'malkut. You don't split up Malkut. Each guy gets 40. Okay, that you can't split up. Malkut is not to split up. But the mamon you can split up. Fine, that we'll have to see later on what the chiluk is. But the point is, what was Rav Yehuda Amar Rav coming to tell me? And don't tell me he's coming to tell me that you pay proportionally, because that's the Mishnah Mefureshet. Mishalishim b'mamon. So Gemara says, Ela kegon de'itzum had minayu de mishalem palga dideh. Okay, so he's talking about, you have two witnesses coming to Betin. One of them became Huzam. The other one didn't, which means Reuven and Shimon, this guy was 1,000. Two other witnesses come along and say, Ah, Reuven, you were with us. So they made Reuven a Edzumim, not Shimon. So the Hadush of the Mishnah is, the Hadush of the Mishnah is, Reuven has to pay 50% of the money. Pays 500. Gemara says, that cannot be. Why cannot be? Gemara says, Umi Mishalem? Nobody pays in that case. That Tanya, en edzomim mishalem mamon, ad sheyazumu shenehem. You don't pay anything until both of them become zomimim. If one of them becomes zomim, it's not enough. They got to become zomim as the group. So that cannot be what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav was coming to teach me. So what's the hadush of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav? Amar Rava, be'em be'omer, Edut Sheker He'adti. The guy comes along and says, I testified Edut Sheker.
Strange.
On his own admission. He comes along, two witnesses. These are me, yeah? These are me. The deep come along and say, this guy was $1,000. All of a sudden, one of the two witnesses comes along and says, listen, by the way, I have to admit, I was lying. Now, you're going to ask me, what do you mean? I thought we just said, Edim Zumim don't become Zumim until both of them. I could argue and say, that's only when others are making them Zumimim. But when they themselves admit that they're guilty, maybe you can become Zumim individually. That's what Gemara is thinking right now. So therefore, since he came forward himself, and now listen, I'm guilty. But so he pays 500. He pays half the bill. Gemara says, wait. Called Kemine? Do you trust him? And we know the rule. Once a guy gives testimony in Bedin, you can't recant it. You can't come along and say, I didn't mean it. What do you mean it? Once they accepted your testimony in Bedin, we have a rule. Kevan shehigid, shuv eno chazeru magid. Once you are Magid, you cannot come along and recant testimony. You can't back out. So that cannot be the case. So what's the case that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav? Ipehef. Ela. Be'omer, he'adnu, ve'uzamnu, be'beddin peloni. The guy comes along and says, again, one guy. He'adnu, he testified. And by the way, we became Uzam in such a betin. He's telling the he's admitting. Listen, you don't know who I am. I'm telling you, I'm an Edzomim. me and my friend, we were in a court somewhere, and they made us zomemim. I got to confess that. So now only one of them is confessing this hadush. So he's got to pay the. But he's saying both of us were zomemim. So he's got to pay the 500. So the Gemara says, "Keman de lo k'Rabbi Akiva." Now this cannot be like Rabbi Akiva, which we just learned. The e k'Rabbi Akiva hamar af eno mishalim al pi atzmo. That's true. We just learned that when you admit that you were a zomem, you don't pay. Confession, you don't pay. So that cannot be like Rabbi Akiva.
Then only if the Gemara.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to say over here. It sounds like it's not Rabbi Akiva because it sounds like the case is talking about where he's admitting, listen, I was a zomim. You admit that you were a zomim before you became a zomim. So the Akiva says, oh, you confessed before they got you. Confession, you're off the hook. It sounds like that's the case over here. Well, the guy comes along and says, listen, we testified. One guy's talking. Yeah, me and my friend, me and Sharon testified. And I got to be honest with you, I'm a zomim. Oh, you're a zomim. So he come along and say, pay. What do you mean pay? That's not recanting his testimony. I said what I said. Just that two other guys came in who zammed me. Right? They were mizim me. Well, that's not like Rabbi Akiva, but because according to Rabbi Akiva, once you confess, you don't get to pay. So we don't want to make the Rabbi Yehuda Amarav against Rabbi Akiva. So what's the case? Now we get to the final answer. Be'omer he'adnu ve'huzamnu be'bet din ploni ve'hayebunu mamon. We testified, me and my friend, me and Shimon testified, this guy was $1,000. We testified in a bet din. And we became huzam in bet din. And they obligated us. Meaning they gemar dined us. They said, you are officially a dim zolimim. They banged the gavel. You officially now owe $1,000. Boom. They banged the gavel. Now it's not an inyan of confession anymore. Which means, when did Rabbi Akiva say that if you confess, then you're off the hook? That's before Bittin obligates you. Before Bittin obligates you, we look at edim zolimim as a knas. So modeh b'knas patur. Once Bittin says you have to pay, it's mamon now. Now it's not a knas. Once Bittin says, Reuven and Shimon, guilty, pay $1,000. That's not a knas anymore. Now they have to pay, because Bittin is telling them, they have to pay. Even the Biakiva will agree, at that point, once Bittin, and then they escaped. And then they went to another Bittin and say, by the way, we have to admit, we got the huzam. Pay, okay, you got huzam, and they gaveled you? So you have to pay $1,000? You have to pay. So the hadush over here is, Reuven and Shimon came to a Bittin. This is what Reuven's saying. Well, so we came to a Beit Din and we testified that he owes $1,000 and they got us, and we got huzam, and Beit Din banged on the gavel and they said, you have to pay $1,000. So Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's hadush is what? He only has to pay his half. He pays $500. Now what's the hadush of the statement? I'll tell you the hadush of the statement. By his testimony, can Reuven make Shimon pay $500? The other guy? So I can confess for myself. You're right, but he escaped. He walked away. He walked away from Beit Din. And they told him we have to pay $1,000. They escaped. He ran away. Now, he comes in front of another Beit Din. He says, listen, Rabotai, I have to confess, by the way. I'm a fugitive here. I was in a Beit Din with my friend Shimon, and we became huzam, and the Beit Din said, we're looking for you guys. You're the Uveda. Okay. Skelem is vot. He makes an admission. Now, the truth is, it's not what I said. They weren't looking for the guys. They didn't know anything about these guys. So on his admission now, he's saying he owes us $500. Now, he's not worse than any other guy that comes along and says, I owe Reuven $500. There's nothing better than your admission. You say you owe $500, pay. But I can't come along and say, me and Shimon owe him $1,000. Hey, speak for yourself. I cannot obligate somebody else who didn't admit. So therefore, the hadush over here is, I would have thought that since my testimony cannot bring Shimon to pay, so maybe I don't have to pay myself. Kamash v'alan? No. That even though Shimon doesn't have to pay based on my testimony, you do have to pay. That's what the Gemara says. Salka data chamina. Kevan de lechavre lo matzi mechayev le iunami lo mechayev. Kama shma'ala. Okay? Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi right before the Mishnah. V'chaybuhu mamon. Bebet din. Shuzamnu ve'imidanu hanidon bedin. Ala zematenu. V'chayevunu bedin. והוא שעתה ממונה הוא גבאיו ואין זה מרשיע את עצמו שכבר לשיעו אלוהים. Exactly. That's not being מודה anymore. מודה is before they get you, but once they get you, that's not even being מודה. That's just saying over what happened. I'm מודה before they made me זוממים. What did they do? They made me זוממים. He ran away.
He escaped.
Boom, they ran. Now nobody knows where they are, but he forgot the case. He shows up 2 years later. You know, I was in a bedin. They got me. They guilted me. They said I have to pay. That's not what they do anymore. That's the bedin was marshia auto. He wasn't marshia himself. So pay the half. Does my friend have to pay the half? No, he's got to pay the half. Well, he was guilty. He was with me. You can't ma'ayiv him to pay. He's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to get at it. So the hadush is that even though the other guy doesn't have to pay, he has to pay. That's what Abu Dhamar was talking about.
This testimony combined, let's say another guy came with one of the Eid Zomim, another guy came. And the
Eid Zomim
and the other guy.
Get the other guy to pay. Could be. There was two witnesses, right? There's two witnesses. You're right. Then you get the other guy to pay, but on one witness can't make somebody else pay. No good. It's always like that. If I come one witness, Reuven owes money. Who are you? You one witness. Get another guy. So could be with him or another witness can join up.
Pay the person.
Sure, you were trying to make me lose $1,000.
No,
Inheritance. Okay, go to the next Mishnah. You need an introduction for the next Mishnah. Small Mishnah, it's one line in the Gemara. It's a big, big subject. You need an introduction to Masechet Ketubot again. Okay, let's review the Ketubah. Man gets married, he has to write a Ketubah to his wife. Basically, the Ketubah has three subjects in the Ketubah. Number one is the Ikar Ketubah, that he's saying, if I die, or if I divorce you, so then I have to pay you. If you're a Betula, I pay you 200. If you're a Almana, you get 100. That's the Ikar Ketubah. Okay. And then you have also the Inyan of the Tzon Barzel. What is Tzon Barzel? The lady brings into a marriage assets. She brings in the dunya, she brings in clothes, she brings in jewelry, she brings in all these assets. So the custom was that they write in, and she brought in from her father's house Sach, the amount of such and such of assets over there, and the husband is mekabel on himself the assessment of all these nechses son barzel. Let's say we assess it's $500 worth of stuff. Okay, so they put, I commit myself to $500 that in the event that there's a divorce or something, I will pay you according to the assessment that we made right now on these items. If they went up, he makes money. If they went down, he loses money. The assessment is according to what they're worth at the time she brings it into the marriage. And also, they would have what's called Nechse Milog. Nechse Milog means she brings a field into the marriage. And sometimes they would write that in the Ketubah as well. And I bring this field into the marriage. Yes, Nechse Milog is different than Son Barzel. Son Barzel becomes the husband's. It's his dress, it's his jewelry now, it's his everything. He accepted our money and divorce, he'll pay for them. Son Nechse Milog gives us hers. He just has the right to eat perot. He has rights to eat the fruit. That's what they call it, milog. Milog comes from the Lashon Miliga. Miliga is to pluck a chicken. and you pluck a chicken, the chicken is still there, and you're plucking the feathers. So milog, same thing, you have the field over there, and you're plucking the fruit in the field stays. So basically those are the three items that are written in a ketubah. Now let's say for argument's sake, all those things come out to me that the ketubah is $1,000 ketubah. At the end of the day, the guy, if they divorce or death, he's got to come up with $1,000 to pay the ketubah. That's argument's sake. Okay, good. Now let's talk. Edim come along and say, Mishnah, Me'edim anu et ish pedoni, shegiresh et eshto. Okay, they come at the Beit Din. This guy divorced his wife. Okay, so what? Ve'lo natan na ketubah. Oh, he didn't pay the ketubah. Okay, all of a sudden, Edim, other Edim come along and say, what are you talking about? He paid the ketubah. Oh, he never got divorced. So what are you talking about? Edim Zumimim. So what were they trying to do? They were trying to mafsid the husband $1,000. I don't know. According to them, you got to pay the ketubah. You got to pay the $1,000. So without knowing anything, what would you say? They got to pay the husband now $1,000. That's not so. If you analyze it correctly, it's not $1,000 that they were mafsid the husband. Why? Which that tells you why. Valo ben ayom u ben lemahar. Today, tomorrow, eventually, sofo liten la ketubata. At the end of the day, he wasn't going to pay the ketubah, by the way. So what do you mean? I made you pay $1,000? I made you pay $1,000 today. But eventually, you might have had to pay that $1,000 anyway. Listen, and if you did get divorced, and if you did die, you would have to pay it. So it's not like I made you pay something that you were never going to pay. Eventually, one day, you're going to have to maybe pay the ketubah. Yeah? Now, maybe you won't have to pay the ketubah. Now, I could sell this ketubah as an option. Which means there is a market for a ketubah that's worth $1,000. I can have a customer that are willing to buy the risk. Listen, I'm the buyer of ketubah. Listen, it's $1,000 ketubah. I'm the husband. I say, listen, you know, this is an unbelievable piece of document over here. Well, tell me the advantages. Well, number one, advantage number one is I'm holding the document. So it will be very easy for you to collect, because you got the, because you're holding the money. The money's by you already. So you don't got to give, she's got to come to you to get the money. So that's already good. Number two, there's Nechsem Midlog in here, by the way. So the second you get this document already, you're going to eat perot and stuff like that. And listen, the guy says, what's my risk? Listen, the risk is, if I get divorced, you get a payout. If I die first, you get a payout. Now, if she dies, then already, then you lose. Then you're out. Then you know, so that's the risk he's taking. How much are you willing to pay for this $1,000 ketubah? I'll give you $500 for such a risk. Well, I'll pay $500. I get the ketubah in my hand, and I might make $500 on this. That's the option. Understand? There's an option over here. So therefore, now, there's also a way of looking at the ketubah. She has an option, which means she can sell her rights. Just like he can sell his rights, she can sell her rights to somebody. What's her rights? Her rights are always a little less. Why? Because she's got to do the collecting. She's got to do the collecting, so therefore it's always less. Which means if she, let's say, gets divorced, so the guy that buys her ketubah, he's got to go now and get the money. The husband is a muhzak. The husband is already holding the money by him. The lady, on the other hand, she is the one that's trying to take the money out. So therefore, she can sell this ketubah option as well. But the ketubah option for the lady is not as expensive if she would sell her option than if he would sell his option. Argument's sake, her option she could sell on the market for $400. Okay, that's basically what you have to know in this Mishnah. Now, let's go back to our story. We testify this guy didn't pay ketubah, he owes $1,000. So what do we mean? So we don't say pay 1,000. Because that's not that we're coming to be mafsid. That's what the Mishnah says. Shmahano, ben ayom, ben ayom, ha-tzovat, ha-tzovat, omdim, kama adam rotze liten b'ktubata shel zu, how much would a person pay for the ketubah? She'im nit'almena o nit'garesha, if she becomes a widow, meaning he dies, o nit'garesha, oh, so then there's a payout. V'im meta, but if she dies, yirashena ba'ala, then you won. If she dies first, beautiful, rip up the ketubah, that's it. There's no yirashena ba'ala. He gets all the he gets everything. That's why he's buying the ketubah. He's not buying the ketubah option to make a payout. He's buying the ketubah option that what? He'll get everything. Yirashena, he'll get the nechson son barzim. He doesn't have to pay it. He gets the nechson medlog. He gets all the other things that are in the ketubah. That's the option. Now the Mishnah doesn't tell us whose calculation you calculate. It says you make an assessment, how much is the option of the ketubah worth? But the Mishnah doesn't tell us whose option. His option or her option? Because in truth, his option is worth more than her option. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Umdim, right before the Gemara, Kama adam rotze liten b'ktubata shezu, misafek. She'im nit'almena o nit'garesha, if she becomes widowed or divorced, yitelena lokaya. Okay, then he wins. Widowed or divorced, so then yitelena lokaya. The lokaya gets it. Ve'imeta, and if she dies, yidashena ba'la v'yafsid ma'otav, shenatan. Okay. Basically, it's an option on the ketubah. So Gemara says, Ketzad Shamin. How do you assess this? The Mishnah is vague. The Mishnah just tells me, listen, you're not paying 1,000. You're going to get that off the table. It's not 1,000. So what is it? He could have sold it. There's a value to it right now. He could have got some money for it. But it doesn't tell me exactly how you make the exact assessment. Look at Rashi now. And she goes to it. Kilomar. What are you obligating the husband to pay? The yesh liftor mishnatnu mishnatenu l'shne stadim. You could explain our Mishnah in two ways. Ketzad hare yesh le'ish ve'le'isha zichut safek b'ketuva zu. They both have benefits in this ketuva. He mitzape. What is she hoping? She'im yamut o yigarshena tigve et kula. She gets the whole ketubah. Vehu metzape, what is he hoping? She'im tamut behayav. If she dies, yirashena. He'll get the whole, he gets to keep everything. That's everybody's benefit in the ketubah. She's betting on divorce and his death, and he's betting on her death. That's the two sides of advantages. Yafe koach zichuto mekoach zichuta. His option is better. Why? Number one, shu ochel perot akarka miyuhad ektubata tamid, v'lo hi. He's eating already perot from the field, nechsem midlog. V'od shu muhzak v'omed. And number two, he's muhzak v'omed. He's already holding the document. He doesn't gotta, he doesn't have to collect anything. He's the one that's muhzak. V'im mechassar gavayna. She, if she collects, she gotta go now and get the money out of somebody. So it's much harder. It's much better to be in the position of a muhzak than to be the one that's got to fetch the money. Mm-hmm. Oh, now let's say they want to come sell the ketubah to somebody else. She wants to sell her rights. Then her rights is, listen, you might get paid. Yeah, you might get a payout over here. V'zu zechut sefeko. And then his zechut also, he has zechut. What's his zechut? You might get everything. You might not have to pay this, and you keep the whole pie. Shelo nimkar biyoter meshela. Clearly. So let's, for argument's sake, his option to sell it, his zechut is worth 500, and she can only get 400. Okay, let's put it like that. The ketubah itself says $1,000 on it. Okay? Now, let's talk outside. I can argue and say, listen, I wasn't coming to be mafsid you $1,000 because your wife would have been willing to pay already $400 for this. She would have been willing to take $400 right now for the option. So, if anything, you're only being mafsid her $600. So, according to one way of calculating the Mishnah, pay $600. Oh, he didn't pay the ketubah, he owes $1,000, right? So, what do you mean? He paid the ketubah, or he never got divorced. You don't say, oh, you tried to mafsid. I didn't try to, we didn't try to mafsid him $1,000. What do you mean? Yes, you did. The ketubah is $1,000. Listen, she would be willing to pay $400 now. Or she would be willing to take, like you want to say, give. Of course, she would be willing to take $400 now, cash me out now, to take $400, and she's saved. So if anything, they were being mafsid, the husband, $600.
Because
he could have bought it from her. That's one way of calculating the hajmon. Gemara, ketzat shemar v'chazda, beba'al, Rabbi Natan Baruch Shaya Omer, be'isha. First opinion says Beba'al. Beba'al means how much could he have gotten for this ketubah? Huh? The husband. So the husband could have got $500 for the ketubah. So the ketubah right now is worth $500. So he could have got $500. He could have sold it. So how much were you being mafsid the husband? $500. So pay $500. You can't say you were trying to mafsid him with that. Right now he has a paper that's worth $500 in his hand. So I was trying to have seen you $1,000. What's wrong with you $1,000? You could have got $500 right now, and it was in your ability to sell it. You could have sold this ketubah $500. So if anything, I was only being mafsid you the additional $500. That's one way of looking at it. Or you're looking at it, no, from the lady's standpoint, which means from the lady's standpoint, she would have been willing to what? Give the husband $400 right now?
To sell it for
get $400. So how much was the husband being really mafsid? The difference between $400 and $1,000 to ketubah, which is $600. So it's two ways of looking at it. Why does two rabbis look at it two different ways? Because I could argue with you, listen, who said she would sell it? Who saw that she was willing to sell it? Who said she was willing to take $400 now? So that's really out of your control. But it's not out of my control if I want to sell the ketubah to anybody else. I could do whatever I want. To me, the husband, he has a right to sell it to anybody he wants. But the lady, you can't force her to take $400 now in the ketubah. So that's the different options. So they know, you look at her standpoint. She would be willing to take $400 now, so you're only being mafsid him to pay an extra $600. So pay $600. Or you say, well, no, who said she's be willing to take $400? You can't force her to take $400. Maybe she wasn't willing. Maybe I don't want to take $400. I'm taking the risk. I don't want the full thousand. That's why you look at it from his standpoint. He's in control. He can. He can sell. It's in his control to sell the ketubah right now. He has an item that's worth something. To him, it's worth something right now in the market. What is it worth? It's worth, he can get $500 for the ketubah.
They testify against him.
So therefore, pay $500. Now, the third opinion is not a third opinion. Look at the third opinion. Third opinion is, Amar Papa, Bi'isha uktubata. The Papa agrees with the opinion, it's Isha. Which means, assess the ketubah is $1,000. She'd be willing to take how much? She would take $400. Pay $600. But, when you make the assessment, the assessment is only in the ketubah, meaning the ikar ketubah. How much is the ketubah? $200, 200 zuz. How much is the nechseisum barzel? That's the money she brings into the thing. That's $700. But don't count nechseim milog into the picture. Nechseim milog doesn't come into the picture. Why? Because not everybody, first of all, brings in nechseim milog. And not everybody writes nechseim milog in the ketubah. That's an unknown item. When Edim come and testify, he didn't pay the ketubah, in their mind, they think ketubah is the main part of the ketubah. They're not thinking nechseim milog.
So therefore, you only have to pay what you were what you had in your mind when you were coming into the Beit Din. Since these things are unknown and they're unwritten and it's not always there. And when it comes to the exam, somebody said they write it. And she brought in dresses and jewelry and that's clear. Say, milog is not always written. It's not always brought into a marriage. So somebody said it was always brought into a marriage. The ikar ketubah towards is always there. So on milog, you can say this, and that wasn't their intention to take away the midlog or to include that in the hashbon. So therefore, instead of making the ketubah 200 plus 700 for next year, and midlog another 100, don't count the midlog in the calculation. It's just isha, her standpoint means she'll be willing to pay 400, and not say pay. She'll be willing to take 400 now. Good. So the ketubah is worth 900. So they have to pay the difference. Pay the difference between 400 and 900. He's agreeing with the opinion that says beisha. He's just telling you don't make a full assessment, including the chesim of beisha ubektubata. Mishnah. Me'edim anu beish plani shu hayav lachaviro 1,000 zuz. Amenat liten lo mikan ve'ad 30 yom. Vu omer mikan ve'ad 10 shanim. Omdim kama adam rotze liten v'yu biyado. 1,000 zuz, ben noten mikan ve'ad la minyom, ben notnam mikan ve'ad 10 shanim. Okay. Two witnesses come along and say, this guy owes, how much money over here? 1,000 zuz? It was a 30-day loan over here, and he owes in 30 days, he owes it also. They became some emim, thought so, had your tesla, and really they find out that it was not a 30-day loan. It was a 10-year loan. So now you were making the guy pay. No, the guy had to pay anyway. You were just making the guy pay. Instead of giving him 10 years that he had, you were trying to make the guy pay 30 days. So therefore, how do you calculate what they were trying to mehayev him? So you calculate how much a guy would be willing to pay to have his loan extended from 30 days to 10 years. And you'd pay for that, right? The person owes $1,000, right? It's 29 days, it's due tomorrow. The guy goes, I can't. Give me 10 more years. 10 more years? 10 more years, you gotta pay for that, the 10 more years. I'm willing to pay a certain amount. So that's what you're being mafseed. So that's the calculation. How much would a guy pay for an extension for 30 days, 10 years? That's what they were trying to mafseed the guy. That amount of money. Is it clear?
Isn't that interest?
No. Interest. That's extension. Extension of a loan. I'm not going to get an extension. I'm not going to get an extension. I owe you the money now. I need more time over there. Okay, so there's a certain calculus. He's not paying that. Nobody paid interest there, by the way. No. Nobody paid the interest over there. Really, the guy had a 10-year loan. That was what he had. It's just when it comes to the Edim Zomimim, we got to figure out. Pay the 1,000. We paid 1,000. I didn't make you pay that. You were paying 1,000. You want me to pay 1,000 tomorrow? I was paying it in 10 years from now. Oh, so what was I? What was I being mafsid you? The early to paying it quickly. Oh, so that's money to me over here. How much you mafsid me? I'd be willing to pay $700 to extend a loan like this or whatever. I guess $1,000 loan. So I'm willing to pay whatever it is, $200 to extend the loan. It's a value. It's not interest. Nobody's paying interest over here. Nobody's
paying interest.
Nobody's paying interest. What's the value of it? That's what it is. I'm out of view with that. What's the value of the money exactly being extended?
Now it's more than 10 years than today.
I'm out of view with that. The extension of the loan. I'm out of view with that. Amar Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. Amar Vet Chaviro de 10 Shanim. A guy lends his friend money for 10 years. Shvi'it Meshametato. 7 years pass, Shemitah comes, it's canceled. Now, even though the loan wasn't due in the seventh year, the loan was due 3 years later. Once 7 years comes in the middle of the thing, off. Now, I forgot, the has to look in the middle, he goes. Torah says, Lo yigos. You can't pressure the guy to pay. Elawat, don't pressure the guy to pay. Shemitah erases. Now, even though in the seventh year, you couldn't pressure him to pay. Because it wasn't due. You understand? The loan was not due to, doesn't matter. Even though the malveh couldn't pressure, I would have said maybe only in a case where you can pressure, technically the Torah says, don't pressure. But if you couldn't pressure anyway, maybe the loan is not canceled. So it doesn't work that way. Since at the end, in 10 years, it's going to come to collection, he loses it already in the 7th year. It's a hadush. So the Gemara asks a question from our Mishnah. Mativ Rav Kahana, Omdim kama adam rotze liten v'yu elef zuz b'yado, ben niten mikan v'ad lamed yom, u'ben niten mikan v'ad eser shanim. Right? We said you make a calculation. How much would the loveh, how much would the borrower be willing to pay to have an extension from 30 days to 10 years? What are you talking about? V'yamat shvit meshametato. If you're saying that the Shvi'it is Meshamed, kullihu nameh ba'eshilu meleh. Now he's got to pay him. He's got to pay him everything. Because to extend the loan, what's going to happen?
Zero.
The loan is going to go to zero. You should pay the whole thing. Because if you tell me Shvi'it is Meshamed, from 30 days to 10 years, oh, 30 days to 10 years, it cancels. Look at Ashi. Ashi says... That we don't have that sheet. Straightforward. Again, the Yemat Shvi'it Meshametato Kulihu Nami Ba'ishalu Meleh. The Edim would have to pay the whole Elef Zuz, because without their Edut, without their testimony, if these guys didn't come and testify, what would have happened? The Loveh would not have to pay anything. The Loveh wouldn't have paid anything. He had a 10-year loan on the thing. 10-year loan is beautiful. He's sitting pretty. 10-year loan. He knows in 7 years. They're coming, oh, he's got to pay now 30 days. So you were being mafsid of 1,000. Because he wasn't paying it. He was sitting pretty. He was saying, beauty, I got a 10-year loan. He's got to know the law. 1 7-year cousin, I'm going to tell him, see you later. I don't know him anything. Well, before you get to Prozbol. In the Mishnah, we didn't talk about Prozbol in the Mishnah. Mishnah said, guy comes and says, this guy, wait. This guy owes $1,000 in 30 days. $1,000 in 30 days. They come along, they're already talking, it wasn't 30 days, it was 10 years.
Meaning?
Which means, really, the Loveh is saying, hey, buddy, I wasn't paying anything, by the way. So therefore, you were trying to mafsid me the whole loan. If the law is right, if Shemitah breaks loans, so you were trying to be mafsid me the whole thing. So what do you tell me? No, they calculate how much the guy would have paid for an extension. That's what you were trying to mafsid him. No, that's not what you were trying to mafsid him. It's not $200. You were trying to mafsid him the whole pie. So you have what answers. Amar Abba, everyone was with Sammy answers. Hakava asking him a ve'ala mashkon u'mosesh rotav lebedin. There's two ways that Shemitah is bypassed. One way is a guy borrows money and he gets a mashkun, he gets a collateral. Once you're holding a collateral, it's like you got paid already. Therefore, Shemitah does not cancel because the guy's holding already collateral. So in that case over there, Shemitah doesn't affect. Or, like you said, a prosbol. Wait, you have a loan. I lent you $1,000. I see the Shemitah is coming. I don't want to get, I don't want to lose my thousand. I write a shtar, and I transfer all my outstandings to the Beit Din. The Torah says, you can't collect the Shemitah. But Beit Din, they can collect. That's called prosbol. So I could say our Mishnah was talking about where Shemitah wasn't an issue. Because either there was a collateral or there was a prosbol. So you cannot bring me a proof from over here to any Shemitah subject. Shemitah was bypassed. That's one way of learning. Continue Gemara. Ika de Amre. There's another version. Same thing, just this is reverse. Guy guy lends his friend money for 10 years. And shvi'it misham betato. Oh, reverse. Shemitah doesn't affect it. Why? I forgot that till it goes, even though after 10 years it's due. Bottom line, in the seventh year, he cannot ask him for the money. So since you can't ask for the money, Shemitah doesn't erase it. When does Shemitah erase it? When it's due in the Shemitah year. So where you can come and say, pay me, the Torah says, no, you can't pressure. But if anyway you couldn't collect it in the seventh year, so therefore, in Shemitah, Mishamitato. You understand? Shemitah only erases if the debt is due in the seventh year. But in this seventh year, the guy can't, because the guy in the seventh year goes, pay me, wait, pay me. It's not due to 3 years from now. Oh, so since you can't ask for payment, Shemitah doesn't affect. So reverse, the Yudah is to Shitote. Amar Rav Kana, Afana Namiterina. Oh, now instead of bringing a question from Amishnah, we bring a proof from Amishnah. עומדים כמה אדם רוצה ליתן ויהיה אלף זוז בידו בין ניתן מכאן ועד למדיום בין ניתן מכאן ועד עשר שנים ויאמר שבי משמת אתו כל הוא נאמו בעי שלא מלא. Right? You see you're right. Because if you would say Shemitah would be משמת, our Mishnah should say he has to pay the whole amount. Ela must be from the fact that you're not paying the whole amount from our Mishnah. You see that Shemitah is not משמת in a 10-year loan. אמר רבי חמאס, כן, הוא עובר המשכום עשר שתה בית דין. דתן עובר המשכום עשר שתה בית דין, אין משמתים. Don't learn anything from Mishnah. I'm just not talking about Shemitah. Shemitah was bypassed. Why? Because either he lent with a collateral or he did a prosbol. So whatever Rav Yudah Amar Rav said, whether he said a 10-year loan gets canceled or a 10-year loan doesn't get canceled, Al Mishnah cannot shed any light on it because Al Mishnah is not discussing a Shemitah situation Bichlal because it was bypassed by a Mashkon or a prosbol. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. Okay, new story. Ha'amen Havero. Guy tells his friend, Almenat shelot tishmeteni shvi'it. He makes a condition. Listen, I'm lending you money, but on the condition that the Shemitah doesn't cancel it. The Torah says Shemitah cancels. This guy comes along and says, listen, you want money, but I'm not, don't get me involved with the Shemitah laws. The Torah says shvi'it meshametet. Shemitah is going to get him. Why? Lema kasva shuel matne al mat shekatub b'Torah. Because you're making a condition on something that's written in the Torah. Dechol matne amad shekatub b'Torah. Anybody that makes a condition on something that's written in the Torah, tena'o batel, finished. The tenai is batel. It is nullified. You cannot make such a tenai. Oh, Gemara says, what are you talking about? Va'itmar hamel chaviru amad she'en lecha alay ona'a. Guy sells something to his friend. And I'm selling you this item, but I'm telling you, you cannot have claims of una'a on me, of overcharging. I'm going to say this, I don't want you to come to me after the bidding, you price gouged me, it was more than a six, you overcharged. I'm selling you the item, you got to accept the price. Now, normally in the Torah, there's also una'a. The law is, if the guy finds out that he overpaid, take it back to Bedin, he can get his money back, and sometimes it's almost, you can even mevatil the whole sale. Listen, here the seller comes and says, I'm selling you the item, I have no responsibility. Okay. Without any una'a laws. Rav Amar, yes, lo alav una'a. Rav says, I'm sorry, there's una'a, you cannot undo una'a. Ushmuel Amar, en lo alav una'a. Shmuel says, there's no una'a, you can cancel it. What do you mean? Why can't I cancel Shemitah, but I can cancel Ona'a? Stinag and Shemuel. You just told me Shemuel. You can't undo the Shemitah laws. Oh, but I can do the Ona'a laws? Undo the Ona'a laws? What's the difference? They're both in the Torah. Just like you tell me. Oh, Torah. You cannot come along and say, I'm lending you money, and Shemitah not going to affect it. Oh, when it comes, I'm going to sell you an item, no rules of Ona'a. Oh, that's okay. You could cancel Ona'a laws, according to Shemuel, but you can't cancel Shemitah laws? What's the difference? Gemara says, Ha itmar ala, we have an answer. Amar of Anan, Lididim mefar shelim ined Shemuel. I'll explain to you what Shemuel is talking about over here. Al menat she'en lecha alai Ona'a, en no alav Ona'a. If a guy comes along and says, listen, Almenat she'en ali, you're not going to have any claims of ona'a on me, you can do that. Because it's monetary, I can be mohel. Anything that's monetary, I have a right to come along and say, this, the buyer can say, no problem, I'm mohel you. Good. Which means, I don't got to take you to court. I I'm mochayev. You charge me $10,000 extra? Any mochayev? I have a right to be mochayev. However, al menat she'en bo ona'a hari yish bo ona'a. But if a guy comes along and says, I'm selling you the item on the condition there's no ona'a here, that you can't do.
No.
Because there is ona'a. You're just bypassing it. Get the difference. Hold your concentration. I cannot come along and say, I'm selling you this item on condition there's no ona'a here. What do you mean, no ona'a? There is ona'a here. You cannot cancel ona'a. There is ona'a. You just want to say, forgive me, I don't want to pay. Fine. That's erasing something from the Torah. The Torah said this is ona'a. You cannot come and say, well, I'm doing it. That we're not going to call this ona'a. It is ona'a. You want to be worried about it. That's what you want to say. How can I mean? I'm not sure. If he comes along and says, on the condition that Shemitah doesn't bother us here, it's okay. Because you can be mochel. However, al menat shelo tishmeteni shvi'it, shvi'it b'shametato. Exactly. Which means, it's a difference between when he says, al menat shelo tishmeteni b'shvi'it, that the loan shouldn't be cancelled in the 7th year. I agree there's a law. But I don't want it to bother me in the 7th year. No problem. But if you come along and say, on the condition that Shemitah doesn't cancel loans, that's not so. Shemitah cancel loans. You cannot erase something from the Torah. That's what Shemuel was talking about. It's the wording. It's all the wording. Which means Shemuel really holds when it comes to monetary issues, it's not a problem of bypassing the Torah law. Because in monetary issues, I can always be mochel. So I can tell a guy, listen, I want to give you a loan, but I'm telling you now, the Shemitah, I want my money back. You're willing to be mohel me? I'm going to mohel, don't worry about it. I'll pay it back. I'll give it to you back. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, no. B'shvi'it. In the Shvi'it. But I can't come and say, I'm going to give you the money, and there's no such thing as... There's no Shemitah laws. Don't give me Shemitah business. Don't give me Shemitah business.
What's the difference?
The difference is, when you're erasing a law in the Torah, and when you're making a condition on something in the Torah, I'm agreeing to Shemitah. Just in the Shvi'it, where there is Shemitah, don't mishamit me. No problem. But I say, I'm going to give you the loan on the condition there's no Shemitah in Shvi'it. There's no Shemitah. There is Shemitah. That you can't do. You can't erase the law of the Torah. That's not making a condition. That's deleting. Al-Mina'at, that... You're not going to bother me with the ona'a.
Why can't he just say it's due?
What? He didn't do that. You're right, of course he could do that. Pay me the 60. He didn't do that. I'm not that you're not going to have claims with me when it comes to ona'a. Okay, good. I agree. I'm mohel. I'm not going to bother you. Even if I find that you overcharged me, mahalti. I'm not that there's no ona'a here. There is ona'a here. You can't get this. No, there is ona'a. You want to be mohel. So you can't say there's no way the twice as there is. Good, that's the difference between the cases. ברוך הבא לעולם, אמן ואמן.